Yep, here we go into open lines now. I'm going to open up a special hotline tonight, too. I'm telling you, this is a strange one. Of all the years I've been doing Coast to Coast, this hotline is a strange one. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you about the story, first of all. Took a friend of mine out to lunch yesterday here in Los Angeles. And, you know, I guess she went into the restroom, as women do all the time, and she was bringing her sunglasses with her. And you know, we went outside and it was very sunny here in Los Angeles and she didn't have her sunglasses. And I figured, oh, well, maybe she forgot them. So I just kind of reminded her and she said, well, no, they're in my purse. I'm not going to wear them. I dropped them and there are germs on them now. And I went, what? And she said, yeah, I dropped them on the floor in the bathroom and I'm not going to wear them now until I take my glasses home and disinfect them. And I went, now, this is weird. I mean, people have idiosyncrasies, but this was a strange one. And I guess according still to this day, she hasn't disinfected her sunglasses yet. I looked up in the dictionary the definition of idiosyncrasy. It's a characteristic, a habit, a mannerism that is peculiar to an individual. So one of the things we'll do tonight during open lines, and my gosh, you're calling already, is I'm going to open up the idiosyncrasy hotline. I want to know from you about you or people you know. I bet we've got some strange ones out there. Here's that phone number, 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Now, I told you what mine was a few weeks ago. I guess I'll tell you again. It's a compulsion with burned out light bulbs. I mean, that's it. And I'm sorry, if I'm in a place that has a burned out light bulb, I kind of like freak. It's got to get fixed, especially at home. If there's a burned out light bulb, it's got to get replaced and it's got to be replaced fast. I have gone to some of these stores, these you know, hardware stores, these big ones, and purchased backup light bulbs because that's my little idiosyncrasy. So that's that number, 818-817-0021. You've got the rest of the numbers. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment. We'll get open line started on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, once again, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website and take a look at the artwork that Douglas Taylor provided to us. I mean, it's absolutely spectacular. It really is. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our West of the Rockies line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
This is Bud. I'm from El Paso, Texas.
Uh-huh.
I've got a story for you about UFOs and NASA.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Tell me what happened.
My dad used to work for NASA back when we were going to the moon. I was just a kid back then, got to meet some astronauts and whatnot. And Dad told me this story. Of course, we were watching this on television, too. But if you remember one of the moon shots where they were going around on the lunar rover, and the network said they were having technical difficulty. And it lasted for a little bit. And this was supposed to be live television. Now, Dad said the astronauts had radioed back to NASA on a secure channel that they were being observed by aliens and that they had observed three different spacecraft sitting on a ridge.
Now, was this Apollo 11 when we first landed, or was this a different mission?
Different mission.
Okay.
And I just wanted to share that with you and let you know that NASA has been covering up this stuff, too.
Now, did your father elaborate on what else happened? Did they describe anything?
They described beings walking out of
the
craft. And the astronauts had radioed NASA and asked them, you know, what are we supposed to do here? And the guy said,
there's not much you can do.
Yeah, Mission Control said, well, are they
hostile, right?
Hostile.
Yeah.
And they said, well, no, it was just like they're observing us. And NASA told them, well, proceed with your mission as if they aren't there. And they kind of was going, okay. And they did their mission and came back, and some pictures were taken.
Did your father ever see them?
Yes. Now, he didn't get to bring these pictures home, but he brought a lot of other pictures home.
Now, the pictures were of what, the craft and the aliens?
Correct.
Did he describe what the aliens looked like, first of all?
Too far to see, actually.
All right.
But they could tell that there were beings out of the craft.
All right. Did he describe the craft?
Flying saucer, classic shape, is what he described.
Hovering or like on a tripod?
Sitting on landing gear, yes.
Okay.
And to this day, that story still amazes me. And I still remember also being a kid. We had a lake cabin out near Vernon, Texas. And they discussed with my grandfather the events out at Roswell.
So you come from a family that is pretty close to this stuff.
Yes. And Dad, he's retired now. He retired from the Pentagon way before the 9/11 deal.
Okay,
he there too.
So he's still with us, right?
Yeah.
Any reason for him to be pulling your leg?
No. Dad was in the Air Force.
Straight shooter.
Yes, sir.
I got to tell you, incredible story. I wish he would have been able to kind of walk out of there with a few pictures in his back pocket.
Well, we've got other pictures. Dad's got them. Caller called in a few shows back that talked about one of the moon shots. They were being followed to the moon.
Yes.
They've got pictures. My dad had some of those.
Any way we can get some of those?
I don't know if Dad still has them or not.
See what you can do for me.
I'll see what I can.
I will keep you anonymous.
That's fine. That's no problem.
Okay. All right. Work on that if you can, because let me tell you something. Those would be some of the greatest pictures I've ever seen. Next up, first-time caller line. Welcome to the show. You are on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I have two stories about afterlife.
Two stories?
Yes, and I've had various other very interesting experiences, but I'll tell you these first because I know you're very interested.
Okay, yes, I am.
My mother died in 1977, and I was mourning very heavily for her for about 4 months. I was lying in my bed, and all of a sudden there was like a little popping sound, and like a little mist came shooting at me. And I thought, maybe this was my mother.
Right.
And I asked, "How are you? Are you all right? I want to know, how are you?" And then I had an out-of-body experience. All it was, it lasted, I would say, 20 seconds. But I felt as though I was floating. I had absolute health. I had extreme happiness. Everything was all rolled up into one. And if I tried to feel that way now, I could never feel that way.
It was euphoric.
There were just so many wonderful things all wrapped up together. And I felt this was an answer from my mother. Then I had been waiting for someone for a number of years. I was a single mother, and I was waiting for somebody, and just this one person, nothing ever happened. And I was very upset. This was...
You mean a relationship you were waiting for?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And this was in 1982. I was very upset, and I thought, I'm just not going to wait any longer, and I have to meet someone else. And it was like I was speaking with my mother.
Yeah.
The next night, someone called me I had met 14 years earlier. And because I had heard about him and of all his fine qualities and everything, I was very willing to go out with him. He proposed 3 weeks later.
You got to be kidding
me. And we were married for 22 years.
Now, did you, prior to his phone call?
Yes.
Did you think about him at all?
No.
So
I had met him 14 years before that.
So whatever happened came to you that abruptly.
Yes, it was like an answer.
And you think old Ma may have set this one up, huh?
Possibly. But anyway, he died last year. Now, after that mist came, there were many times when I would have like a heartbeat on my arm or my leg, and it was not the same as mine.
How could you feel a different, what do you mean, a different heartbeat?
It was like a heartbeat, like there was something else there, but it was not the same. It wasn't the same as mine. It wasn't synchronized with my own heartbeat.
Ah, okay. I see what you mean.
Okay, now I'll tell you a story about an animal. We had a cat and had to have it put to sleep.
How old was it when that happened?
I don't know.
14, 15, something
maybe.
Like that.
And I used to go teaching, and my daughter was about 12 or 14 years old and was at home in the apartment. This was before I was married the second time.
Okay.
And she called me and was very startled. She called me at one of the lessons. She said, "The shower curtain is moving around up and down and all around just the way it did when the cat used to play with it."
Probably still was.
Pardon me?
It was still playing with it.
That's right. And we also heard a meow. So these things really happen.
Of course they do.
And then I want to tell you, do you want to hear a UFO?
No, I got to move on because I've got thousands of calls here. But the two stories were great. Thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go to our idiosyncrasy hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi, this is Jesse from St. Louis.
Jesse, what's happening in the old hometown?
Oh, it's just a long, cold night. That's about all I can say.
St. Louis Cardinal fever, though, huh? They're two games up, aren't they?
I believe they're doing well, yeah. I'm not exactly sure exactly how they're doing, but my idiosyncrasy that I called in about is whenever I'm eating something crunchy or chewy, my eyes I have to blink my eyes, like, really hard. I don't know when it started exactly.
Whenever you're eating something crunchy or chewy, you're blinking your eyes. While you're chewing, you mean?
Yeah.
You mean real, like, real fast?
No, blinking with my chewing. You're giving me the same reaction as your screener.
And probably everybody who's watching you when you do this.
Yeah, and I'm not always aware of it when I do it. And most of the time, someone points it out to me.
Well, now, let me see something. When people chew like that, do you normally blink anyway? Let me see. I
imagine you do. You blink thousands of times a day without even realizing.
But you're synchronized.
Most of the time.
Maybe. Now, how did this ever come to your, forefront? What happened? Did somebody point it out to you?
Somebody started laughing at me when I was eating a really cheesy pizza one day. And... And I kind of thought she was just making fun of me, but then she told me what was going on, and, well, I started noticing a lot more and more people noticed it, and it's like a habit I can't break.
No, you never will either. Okay, thanks, Jess. Appreciate it. All right, so I opened up the idiosyncrasy hotline, and we're going to get these strange ones tonight. That number, again, is 818-817-0021. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Nathan in Austin, Texas.
Hi, Nathan.
Hi. My friend Pat and I listen to you on Streamlink at work every day.
Well, great. Thank you, by the way, for being such a supporter of the show.
Oh, glad to be there. It's our 60th birthday on Sunday.
Oh,
and
that's great.
Since we work and listen to you every day, I wanted to know what your first job was.
In the business or my first job ever?
Your first job ever.
I was 16 years old. My very first job ever was a packer, and then a bag packer at a supermarket. And then I worked my way up, and I was a stock boy. This is while I was going through school, in high school.
Right.
But that was my very first job. I mean, I just got to a point where I wanted to go to work, and I guess 16's, I don't know, is that early for somebody? Not really,
no.
but it's not late either. So but I've always worked. Ever since I was 16, I worked. I put in a lot of hours. But that was my very first job. It was a supermarket. The store was called Great Scott in Detroit. And I don't even know if they exist anymore. But that's what I used to do. I used to bag them, and then I was making like $1.80 an hour. And then... few dollars more than I'm making now, as a matter of fact, but I loved it. It was a fun job, and it taught me a lot about self-discipline. But that was it. Okay, that's it. That's what he wanted to know, and that's what he got. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Fine. Where are you calling?
I'm calling from Augusta, Georgia.
Okay.
And I had a story about a UFO. I don't know if it's a UFO. Traveling in southern Georgia.
They travel everywhere.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like this before, but me, my sister, and my brother were coming home from a relative's house, driving back, and, you know, there's trees, there's flat farmland, there's no really hills until later on when you get closer to Augusta.
Right.
So we noticed that there's something, it's not behind us, it's not a car. We really very seldom saw a car because it was late at night. And, you know, the cars we did see, we noticed driving past us. Nobody turned around. Nobody was behind us.
Right.
They did. Whatever. So we look up into the distance, and there's still a light following us. And we don't know what it is, but it's not on the road. It's in the trees. And you could see it, a faint light in the trees. It wasn't like maybe a street light that had a destination and was stationary, and it got fainter in the distance. It never got fainter.
And I mean, was it the size of a star or much bigger than that?
I would say that the light was probably the size of, I wouldn't want to say a Volkswagen, but that's what it looked like.
Well, that's
exactly
pretty big.
How big or how far it was.
Okay, that's big.
Yeah, so, you know, and I was like, man, this is crazy. It's just going almost as fast as we are, and it's been following us for almost 40 to 50 miles. You know, and nobody else is, during that duration, nobody passed us and nobody was behind us. We were on the road all by ourselves.
And in terms of distance, could you guess?
I would have to say it was at least, probably 40 miles.
That far away?
Yeah. From the city of Augusta where we were, it doesn't really get light. You know, the surrounding suburbs, they don't have lighting on the freeway system. There's not actually an interstate that was where we were
going to. If this object was 40 miles away and it looked as big as a Volkswagen, it must have been huge.
Yeah, that's what we were trying to figure out is how big is this? You know, my sister, she was the one driving. And me and my brother were the one looking at it. I noticed it because I was sitting in the back seat laying down like I was sleeping, you know, and I kind of saw it, and I'd noticed that it was there, and I, you know, was like, am I just seeing this?
What happened? What happened to it finally?
It finally disappeared. I mean, we noticed it, but
it didn't.
We saw a clearing, we couldn't see it.
It didn't zoom off or anything like that?
It could have. It could have been just instantaneously, but I don't. The thing about it, I don't really know exactly how it works out or whose land it was or anything like that, but all I know is now they have an interstate going where they're building that.
Well, I got to tell you, something, if you had estimated it was 40 miles away, I don't know how you did that exactly. I guess you used the hills as a reference point, but as big as a Volkswagen that far, this thing could have been 10 miles long. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue. Don't forget the idiosyncrasy hotline. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's time to give out a shout to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations around the country and in Canada, Puerto Rico. Hello to all of you. Streamlink members, hello to you. Good to talk with you. And, of course, those of you listening on various chat rooms around the country who sit around, listen to Coast, either on Streamlink or radio stations, and simply converse with friends and family right over your computer. Hello to the NighthawkZone.com folks, the growing... By the way, happy anniversary to you folks out there at the Nighthawk Zone. Fantastic Forum Pirates, the Imaginative Worlds folks, hi to you, Sorcery IRC and Yahoo Chat, the National Radio Club, and the list that keeps growing and growing. As you know, I've asked you just to send a little list to Lex so I can keep track of how many groups are out there. So make sure you do that. By the way, we continue to track these very strange stories. I don't know why my gut tells me there's something very wrong here with all these stories about the avian flu and the possibility of a pandemic, a military quarantine, a report coming out about the possibility of 2 million Americans will die with all this. There's just something that just doesn't sound right. By the way, oil. Yesterday, the price of oil dropped under $60 a barrel for God knows how long. It's been way over that, right? How come when the barrelage price goes up just a little bit, they immediately raise the price at the pump? I mean, it's like that day, right? But when the price begins to plummet for the barrel, right, I still haven't seen the reduction. It's been 2 or 3 days now. Why do they do that to us? Back in a moment. Okay, showtime. Welcome back to Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. We've got a great list of guests for you next week. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on tonight. Let's go to our idiosyncrasy line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. How are you doing, George?
I'm doing great.
John in Los Angeles.
Hi, John.
Well, besides having the typical idiosyncrasies of like hanging toilet paper in a certain direction or paper towels.
Over or under, right?
Over. this is the strange one. Every time I pull out a Kleenex from a box of Kleenex,
all right,
I have to turn it the box 180 degrees because they're interweaved and they come out the proper way only if you turn the box 180.
And if you don't, you screw the whole thing up.
Well, it feels funny against your nose, doesn't it?
I love it. I love
it.
All right, you got it. Thanks a lot. West of the Rockies, you're on the air on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How you doing? This is Mike.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Nice talk to you again.
Thank you.
I was telling you, the man that answered the phone there, your screener, I've heard this Oscar call in a couple times. You know, I've got it a couple times. I've listened to him and stuff. And there's a way, and it's in the Bible. In other words, if this is a person doing this, he's got a very weird,
warped sense of humor.
Yes, he does. But if it is a demon, okay.
And what are the odds here, by the way? What do you think? I mean, could he really be a demon or just some whacked out person?
Well, I think it's a whacked out person, okay? But
there's that possibility.
Well, yeah, there's always a possibility.
that's what keeps us on our toes, I guess.
Yeah, but anyway, in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and the man of God's talking to the church, and he says this. He said, try the spirits, test the spirits to see if they're of God. If the Spirit is of God, it will say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he came to this world, this earth, as a man in the flesh, just like us.
All right. Okay?
If it's a demon, I've had this happen in exorcism.
All right.
A demon will admit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he will not admit. They just can't do it. It's not in them. They will not admit that he came to this world as a man. They can't say it. Okay? So that's how you test them.
I see.
But, you know, God's love and faith and all the devil promotes is fear. So,
hey, by the way, let me ask you this, too. I'm glad you called.
Okay.
I had an email a couple weeks ago from somebody, and you know, again, 90% whacked out, 10% maybe. And he said, George, I would like to set up an interview with the devil for you. I have a way to have someone arrange this for you, and you can talk to him. Not in person, but on the phone. And so I've been toying with the idea of doing that. What do you think? I mean, first of all, part of me, the newsman part of me says, you know what? This is pretty compelling stuff to talk to someone who either thinks he's a devil or someone who's possessed or maybe the devil incarnate. Who knows? And then the other part of me says, you know what? Don't put that junk on the radio and nobody wants to listen to it. And I don't know, because I've been getting messages now from people who want to listen to this. What's your take?
Well, it's like the old folks used to say, if you dance with the devil, you're going to get burnt. But I always say this, if you stop and give the devil a ride in your car, sooner or later he's going to be driving.
Good point.
So, but what I was going to say about this Oscar and Rachel, all the millions of listeners that your show has, God forbid if this thing is real,
yeah.
If they pray to God, believe me, Oscar is going to get hurt.
I hope so.
Okay. So anyway, just nice talking to you.
Okay.
Again, George.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you being part of the program, giving us that insight, by the way. Next up, Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us. Hello.
Hi, George.
Hi, where are you?
I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Las Vegas.
Very close to Pahrump.
Do you live in Las Vegas?
I've lived here 26 years. I love it.
So you have seen that city grow from almost nothing.
Oh, the house where we lived for 26 years, it was at Flamingo and Rainbow. It was a dirt road in 26 years ago.
26 years ago would have put you in 1979. Bugsy Siegel was dead by then, wasn't he? He was long gone. Yeah.
Most likely.
He was gone.
I'm 50.
Yeah.
So
he was long gone.
Yeah, he was before me, but I've known a lot of interesting people. But the most important and famous, everywhere you go, being a coast-to-coast listener, everybody's coast-to-coast listener here.
You know, I was there about 6 months ago in a cab.
With your son?
Yeah.
For his graduation.
Yeah, yeah. And the cab driver was a coast-to-coast listener.
Oh, I mean, everybody
it was,
is.
It's cool, yeah.
Anyway, why I called is a couple of things, but we rented this movie at Blockbuster, a new release.
What's it called?
My name's Jeanette, by the way. Angels, Demons, and Masons.
Is it a first-run movie?
I got it at Blockbuster on Tuesday. It just released.
Really?
It's a guide to the Illuminati Freemasons of Dan Brown's thrillers. But it's a documentary, and it's
it's
all filmed in Rome.
Okay, yeah, I got to look at that.
Oh, last time I was in Rome was 92. Watching this, you can smell the marble. It is so it is so wonderful. And I'm going to have to watch it twice. You never heard of the movie?
No, I haven't heard of this one, this documentary. I don't think, it didn't hit the big screen, did it? No.
I have no idea. I don't like the big screen.
No, it sounds like it was made for the DVD market.
Maybe. Hey, while I was listening, waiting for my call, I heard your stuff about this fear about the flu with our dear president.
Yes.
I say that kindly. And I remember... in psychology once, I memorized this one line in a book. The way to control and manipulate is to induce fear.
Yep.
There you go.
Fear. And you know what? I would feel better about all of this if his popularity was zooming. But you know what?
Because
you know, when someone's popularity is at the lowest ebb, and then all this scare stuff starts coming up.
That's how they got reelected, the Republicans on the fear ticket.
You get very suspect.
Hey, another deal, when I was listening, waiting for you, which I'm very pleased to get through, is you were talking about talking to the devil.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear this old saying about the woman hiking on the trail and found a frozen snake? She knew his rattlesnake, but she felt sorry for him because he's frozen. So she brought him in and thawed him out, took good care of him. And then one day he bit her. And she said, why'd you do that? He goes, you knew I was a rattlesnake.
That's right. See, the one I heard was the scorpion wanted to ride across a lake and couldn't swim because he drowned. And so he asked the frog to, to swim him across the lake. And the frog said, I'm not letting you jump on my back. You're going to sting me to death. And the scorpion said, come on, and kill us both. And the frog thought about it, and he said, yeah, he's probably right. Jump on board. Scorpion gets on the frog's back, starts swimming halfway across. Guess what? Scorpion bites him. They're both dying. They're both going under. The frog says, why'd you do it? And the scorpion said, it's my nature. Same kind of thing.
Yeah. George, I've got some exciting thing I wanted to share with you. You know, about 3 months ago, you had a really good show on medical marijuana.
Have I had one since?
I don't know, but this was...
a real good show.
Oh, yeah. We listen to you every night.
All right.
If I fall asleep, I repeat it from KFI.
I'm pulling your leg.
Every night.
But we did. Yeah, medicinal marijuana was the show.
It opened my eyes. I was on heavy, heavy pharmaceuticals for chronic pain for 10 years, up to 32 pills a day.
Oh, my God.
I mean, 360 milligrams of morphine, 3 Xanax, 3 Som. Anyway.
You're going to kill yourself on that stuff.
Well, yeah, I was probably going to. Nine weeks ago, I talked to a pharmacist and detoxed. And, you know, the state of Nevada, we are allowed agriculture through the state of Nevada, Department of Agriculture. You can get medical marijuana, and it has changed my life.
Good.
I was losing my mind, but I didn't know it.
How much of the pharmaceuticals did you go off because of this?
I was taking 900 milligrams of Neurontin. About 32 pills a day, 360 milligrams of morphine. These are very high doses.
So you're off 32 pills because of this.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. All right, great. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, George. Keep on trucking.
Appreciate that. 32 pills gone. First-time caller line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hi. This is Macy from Kentucky.
Hi, Macy.
Hi. I just want to ask all your listeners and you, I was driving one night. And it was late. I don't know. It was dark. And this great big bright green light hit my windshield. And when it did, it, like, just divided. And, I mean, it hit it so hard, I thought maybe it cracked it. Well, I'm a scaredy cat, so it kept going. So I get home and check my windshield. It's not broke. It's not cracked, anything. There's no residue on it or anything. And this was, like, a huge... I mean, it was so bright, it just blinded me for a couple of seconds.
Where were you when this happened?
I'm sorry?
You were in your car, but whereabouts?
Just in Kentucky. I was in about northern Kentucky. I was just coming home from work one night.
I mean, were you on the highway, a busy road? What was it?
Just a main highway. It's not like interstate or anything. I mean, it's fairly busy, but it's not the interstate highway.
I wonder if traffic or police helicopters have green lights now. I don't know. I have never seen green lights. And then I'm thinking, was it a thick light or was it very small, like a little laser point?
It was like a ball, like the size, I would say, of a softball. Like something just fell and hit my windshield and it just divided from left to right. I mean, just completely covered the windshield and it's gone.
You know what probably happened? This is strange, but I think you saw a meteorite that, you know, was going through the atmosphere and it looked like it was going to hit you. I saw one of those a couple weeks ago, not quite as extreme as you did, and it gives you the impression that this thing's coming right at me, and it really isn't.
I actually heard it hit.
Oh, you heard it hit. So you heard a thud?
I'm sorry.
Well, let me tell you, if a meteorite hit your car, you would have known about it.
Absolutely. Well, I got on the internet and tried to look it up, and I've seen all kinds of things about something from these. And I've always been kind of skeptical about aliens and spacecraft, even though, I don't know.
Well, I don't think it was that. I don't think it was that.
They were calling them fireballs from what I looked up on the internet.
Well, yeah, you might have had a plasma ball hit you, something like that. No burn, no scorch, nothing?
Nothing. I mean, I got out and looked at my windshield, and there wasn't even any residue on it, but it was just neon green.
Well, we'll ask our listeners if they've heard of this to fast blast me, and then I'll put it on later, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it. No, that's a first for me. Let's go now to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show, and where might you be?
Hey, George, this is Brooke, and I'm calling from Newport, Rhode Island.
Hi, Brooke.
I'm the guy that was born on your birthday in Detroit.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Different year, same day.
Right.
Yep.
But I just heard you say what your first job was and where it was.
Don't tell me.
I hope you're sitting down because I am holding on to my chair.
Well, I stand most of the time, but let me sit for this one. Okay.
Okay.
Now I'm on this chair.
My first job was as a bag packer at Great Scott Supermarket.
You've got to be kidding me.
I'm not. I can tell you that Great Scott supermarket, from what I'm trying to remember, only had maybe one or two stores. And the one I worked on was near a high school, and there was also a building on the corner there that kind of looked like a bank building where they would have fish and chips on Friday, and I used to go there for fish and chips on Friday, and I think my manager's name was Gene, and he was a big guy with balding, with like a balding head.
I don't remember my manager's name, but the store was on Van Born Road in Dearborn Heights.
Okay, then they must have had other branches, because the one I worked at was at the Detroit Hamtramck line.
Were you 16 also when you first got this job?
Yes, I was.
That's weird.
Is that weird?
So we're born on the same day. Now, see, I was born 1950. What was your year?
Oh, I never give my year.
Oh, come on.
I don't.
Really?
Uh-huh. I never give my year because when I was growing up as a kid, my mother used to tease me about my friends either being older or younger than I was.
Right.
And I used to get on her case about it.
It's
and
just
say, I'm never going to tell anybody my age.
It's just a state of mind. But, all right, so here we are.
I wanted to ask you a question on coincidence.
Yeah.
And the question is this. You said on several occasions that you don't believe in coincidence.
Right.
And neither do I. So the question is, Prince Bandar, who was the ambassador to Washington for 20 years and is not exactly an old man,
mm-hmm.
retiring, has quit his post and is going back to Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
The son of Rupert Murdoch, Laka Murdoch, is 33 years old, and he's the heir apparent to the Fox News Network
right.
empire. Has quit his job, and he is moving back to Australia. The president of NBC has quit his job, and I don't know if he's leaving the country, but he's quit his job. Jesse Ventura, who was the governor of Minnesota,
used to be
a Navy SEAL, and certainly has lived the American dream, last week said he is leaving the country. My question to you is, do you think that's all coincidence, or why are all these people leaving the country?
I don't think it's coincidence at all. Why they're leaving the country? I just think they're decided, all of them collectively, to change their lives, to change their careers. I think they've all tapped into the collective consciousness, and they're just decided to go.